I want to welcome those of you who are watching via Wartburg Watch, and we welcome you to the 11 o'clock worship service here at Emmanuel. This morning, we're going to look at a verse of Scripture that if I were to be completely honest with you, I don't know that I would choose for a Sunday morning teaching time. But that's one of the advantages of going verse by verse through the Bible. You don't choose what you speak on. The Lord does. It's a little bit like some Diet Dr. Peppers that we have in our garage. We have them on this container that holds 8, that sits on a stool where you walk in our back door. And yesterday I went out and I pulled one of the bottles off, and the container tipped and fell off the stool because it was heavy loaded on one end with Dr. Pepper, and the other end was now empty. Churches are a little bit like that. Preachers get heavy loaded on one end. They talk about the same thing over and over again. It's their pet subject. For some churches, it's the doctrine of election. For others, it's the family. For others, it's culture, and so on. And churches have a tendency to tip over, become extreme, because they don't have a sense of the balance of God's Word. Well, this morning, we're coming to a subject that I believe the Lord would have us listen to because it's in Hebrews 13, verse 4. And I probably mistitled the message. Because if you're single and you saw the title on the screen, Marriage Matters, there was most likely a temptation to tune out to what's about to be said because you don't want to hear about marriage. If you're divorced or widowed, this is probably a difficult subject for you. I say to you in the beginning, I probably mistitled it because what we're actually going to be talking about is sexual activity outside of marriage. One of the things that I've learned after 30 years of being in the ministry, 20 years before that, living in the home of a pastor and being the grandson of an evangelist, and 51 years of living in our culture here in America, everybody struggles with either the temptation towards sexual activity outside of the bonds of marriage or the actual act itself. But nobody talks about it. Or those who do are usually preachers in churches who shame people. Don't do that. Don't you dare do that. God said, don't do that. And it reminds me of a family with young kids driving down the road on vacation, and little Junior says to Daddy, Daddy, can I do this? And Daddy turns around and says, no, son, you can't. Well, Daddy, why not? Son, because I said so. Well, Daddy, why? And Dad turns around and bops Junior on the head. That's the way preachers talk about this subject. Just don't do it. Because God said don't. Don't ask any questions. Well, the truth is, we are all sons of God. And I think He gives us the reason why sexual activity outside of marriage is something to be abstained from. And so what I'd like to do is talk to you about the reason. Without shame, without condemnation, without any kind of judgmentalism. If you're here this morning and you're listening to me speak and you're right now in the middle of sexual activity outside of marriage, I want you to hear me. Follow my logic. Listen to the words of Scripture and realize that I'm just trying to help. And by the time we get done, I think you'll see how I am helping. Our text is verse 4 of Hebrews 13. The writer of Hebrews says, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Now, if you look there at the New American Standard Version, and I don't think it's shown on the screen, but it is in your Bible, the word marriage before bed is in italics. It's not in the original. Literally, what the author of Hebrews is saying is, marriage is to be held in honor by all, and the bed is to be undefiled. Now, why is it that marriage is to be honored and the phrase the bed is to be undefiled, which means sexual activity is to be within marriage? Why is that? By the way, if you were born after 1980 and you're listening to this message, this verse sounds very strange to your ears. Very, very strange. Because today, culture thinks sexual activity outside of marriage is not only good and healthy, it's normal. Truth be known, if you end up going to college, you're 18, 19, 20, 21 years of age, and it becomes known that you're a virgin, you become the target of ridicule. And people, in fact, begin to look at you as if you are abnormal. Why does God say what we've just read? Well, first thing I need you to do is understand that culture is not always right. In fact, cultural practices in our nation sometimes stray profoundly from God's plan. And by the way, just because culture says something is right and good doesn't mean that it really is. You need to remember that. And cultural practices that stray from God's plan wind up hurting a great deal of people because of the reasons that I'm going to tell you about in just a moment. And I think it would be helpful if we Christians could bring healing to hurting people, not shame. So let me try. Let me show you, first of all, that marriage is to be held in honor and the marriage bed is to be undefiled because of what marriage pictures. Marriage is a symbol of something else. It's a picture of another reality. Best way I could illustrate this is with the American flag. This week I read about Little John. I wouldn't know who Little John is from Adam, except for the fact I saw him on The Celebrity Apprentice. Seems like a nice guy. He's a rock star, has gold all over his teeth and so on. But he took the American flag this week and he desecrated it. And he threw it on the ground and he trampled on it. And people across the nation were outraged. Outraged. I would ask the question, why? People step on cloth that is dyed red or blue or white all the time. You step on a cloth dyed red when you step on a rag or a shirt. People don't get upset when you do that. Why Little John? You say, well, it's obvious. He stepped on a symbol. He stepped on the flag of the United States. What Little John was saying was, I'm turning my back on America. I don't like this country. And so he desecrated the symbol of the country. Marriage is like flag. It's a symbol. A symbol of what? Marriage symbolizes the union between Christ and his people. Or, let me put it more personally. Every time you see somebody married, whether it's your marriage or somebody else's, the institution of marriage is a symbol. It's a living, breathing flag of the union God has with you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, we know this because throughout Scripture, believers are called the bride of Jehovah in the Old Testament, the bride of Christ in the Gospels. In the epistles, we are called his bride. In Revelation, we're called the bride of Christ. Throughout Scripture, he is the groom. God is the groom. We are the bride. We are in union with him. In fact, in Ephesians 5, when Paul refers to the marriage union between a man and a woman, he immediately compares it to the union God has with believers, with his people. By the way, I can prove this to you instantly, that marriage is a symbol of something else. Anytime the reality is present There is no need for the picture or the symbol. For example, I used to take people in Colorado up to two mountains, to the top, Mount Intero and Mount Princeton, on Jeep rides, and then I would prepare breakfast for them. I know for some of you this is hard to believe, but I used to be a wrangler, a cowboy. I'd take them up to the top of these beautiful pinnacles, and we would have a wonderful time. How silly would it have been had I taken a family on vacation to the top of Mount Intero, and I prepared breakfast for them, and they pulled their chairs out of the Jeeps, and they sat down, then they whipped out their billfolds, then they whipped out their purses, and they opened up and pulled out pictures and stared at pictures of the views from the top of Mount Intero. I'd look at them and think, man, you're crazy. The reality's here. You're on top of the mountain. Look. Don't look at pictures. Look at the reality. Look around you. Now, with that in mind, you might better understand what Jesus meant when he said about heaven. During the resurrection, people will not marry, nor will they be given in marriage. Now, for those of us who have a great marriage, don't let that verse trip you up. Your BFF here is going to be your BFF there. What Jesus is saying is there will be no sexual activity in heaven. There will be no marriage, nor sexual union, nor sexual activity in the union of marriage, no procreation. Why? Because the reality is present. The union with Christ is there. Now, I don't have time to flesh this out, and for those who are younger, they're not going to understand this. Those of you who are older, you'll get it instantaneously. Did you know that everything associated with the sexual union of a man and a woman within marriage is a picture of heaven and the eternal union you will have with God? That the euphoria and the ecstasy of that union is a picture of the way that you will feel in the presence of your living God who chose to be in union with you? Marriage is a symbol. And when the reality of being with Christ is present, there's no need for the picture. This is why marriage should never be your identity as a Christian. Ever. Ever. I want to speak directly to those of you who are single or those of you who've gone through a painful divorce or those of you who are widowed. Your identity is not found in anybody else but Jesus Christ and your union with God. This is why single man or woman, if a married couple ever comes to you, and this irritates the fire out of me, and says, oh, you're missing so much in life, when are you going to get married? You say, wait a minute. I'm not missing a thing. I have the reality of the union that you have with God in my own life. You just have the picture frame. I have the reality of that union within me, and I'm going to be enjoying Christ and all of his fullness in heaven with you for eternity. Stand your ground. Young people, you grow up, and this is particularly true of Christian environments and Christian churches where family movements are telling young girls that their only identity is in the man they marry. For heaven's sake, I have found probably nothing more antithetical and anti-scriptural than that kind of teaching. Ladies, your image, your personhood, the essence of who you are is found in Christ. Marriage is but a picture. And so if you have this fantasy of growing up and having your white knight taking you off on the back of his horse to a foreign land, living happily ever after, you need to understand something. Picture frames break. The frame is not always representative of the reality. You need to realize that marriage should never be your identity. And that's true for those of you who've been through the pain of a divorce. Doesn't mean the union with God is ripped. It just means the picture frame has fallen off the shelf and broken. And it hurts. Because that frame was very precious. But your identity is in the union. Which leads me to an example from the mission field. William Carey was the first missionary of Baptists from England to India. And he was married happily to a woman who died on the mission field. He remarried 6 weeks later. And he was criticized from one end of the earth to the other in the press and among the people who supported him back in England. And William Carey responded to his critics by saying this: "The best evidence that a widower had a great marriage is a quick remarriage." If William Carey had his identity in the woman who died, his life was over. But his identity was in the God who lives. And marriage was only a picture, a symbol of his union with God. Which leads me to a second point where I would like to focus. What I've just said is really kind of background. The second point is the text. Sexual activity outside of marriage is a picture of you forsaking a union with God. Now listen to me carefully. I'm not saying that sexual activity outside of marriage breaks the union with God. Just like being unmarried doesn't mean you don't have a union with God. What I'm saying is, when you practice sexual activity outside of marriage, you're drawing a picture. You're putting a picture frame around your life. You're symbolizing that you're going after other gods. This was the logic of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 when he writes about sexual immorality, and he says this: "Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against the body." And then he says this: "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who lives in you?" In other words, he's connecting the union that God has with you to the reason why you flee sexual immorality. Let me put it like this. The sin of sexual activity outside of marriage is spiritual, not physical. You know, young people, if you ever hear a preacher say, you need to stay away from sexual activity outside of marriage. Stay away from it. It's gross. It's ugly. Don't do it. Stay with it. Come on. We know better than that, right? Sexual activity is beautiful. God created it. But he created it within the confines of marriage as a symbol and a picture of his union with his people. And the reason that you stay outside of sexual activity, outside of the bounds of marriage, is a spiritual one. That means, young ladies, when a man says to you, when you're dating him, "Look, if you really loved me, you would have sex with me," a red flag instantly ought to go up, because that young man does not understand that sexual activity is a picture, a symbol, a flag of your union with God. And so what you can say to that young man is something that's very clear. "Listen, I find you physically attractive, and I would love nothing more to unite with you in the sexual union, but I can't. Because the sexual union is to be within the confines of marriage as a picture of God's union with me. And so I'm going to wait until we're married." Boy, you talk about causing that young man to think. In fact, I'll even give you men something else to think about. Have you ever considered that any time a man knocks on the door of a prostitute, he's looking for God? Have you ever considered that what happens in terms of sexual immorality and fornication and adultery, is there's a man who was designed to be in union with God and to find joy and euphoria and ecstasy from Him. But it's not there. There's a vacuum in his heart. And so he's out looking for the picture frame. He's looking for something that represents God, but is not God. This is why the person who looks to sexual activity as a goal has forgotten there is a God. I'll give you an example. You married men. You married a woman that God gave you. You are called by God to love that woman as He loves you. And I know some of you think to yourself, well, my wife has allowed herself to gain weight. Or my wife has just let herself go. And, you know, I've got needs as a man, and frankly, I don't find her attractive. And so you justify going out of the context of marriage and looking for sexual activity. That's your goal. You have forgotten there is a God. You see, men who believe in Christ, we are called by God to be content with the wife God has given us and to love her the way she is, because that is precisely how God loves us. And so, if you ever go to find a cure for your sexual addiction, whatever that is, and they never talk to you about what's missing in terms of your union with God, you'll never find help. You'll never find help. So I want to close this morning in the last few words that I have to anyone who's listening to this. And again, I hope you hear my heart. I'm talking with you. I'm helping you, trying to bring some healing. Let me close by giving you a word of encouragement, some practical wisdom. To keep the marriage bed undefiled means that you must think of sex in terms of the spiritual. Now, again, culture will look at this and they're like, clueless. What? Are you kidding me? Come on. In fact, I was in the city yesterday early and trying to get back for a wedding, and we were driving a car. We were looking at a used car for my wife, and they had the radio on 104.9, which is a rock station in Oklahoma City. I've never heard it before, but there was this song, and it was this, you know, beating, driving song. Up all night, up all night, up all night, up all night. And I'm like, up all night for what? Well, second verse, I found out what they were up all night for. You know, listen, you can't condemn those folks. They're not thinking of sex in terms of the spiritual. They're not thinking of sex in terms of being in relationship with God. Sex is the end. By the way, this is why that last little part of our text says God will judge the fornicators and adulterers. Listen, it's not the act of sex he's judging. Fornicators and adulterers have forgotten there is a God. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a believer in God. I believe in Christ. He has forgiven me of my sins. I'm one with Him, and I still struggle with sexual sins. I understand. I understand. Let me give you some closing advice. All of us, because we are human, who live in a culture that is saturated with sex, a culture that has no concept that sex within marriage is a symbol, a picture, a flag of the eternal union God has with His people, we're going to struggle. When the struggle comes, there's something that I hope you can remember, and I'm going to borrow it from Beth Moore. It goes like this. There is no high like the Most High. Young people, when you feel pressed towards sexual activity outside of marriage, Remember, there is no high like the Most High. When you feel pressed by a married man to have a relationship with you, there is no high like the Most High. You see, the reason you should abstain from sexual immorality and keep the marriage bed pure is because it's a flag, it's a symbol. And in the same way that Little John took that American flag and trampled on it and was basically saying, I'm turning my back on God, people who turn their back on the sanctity of the marriage bed and the union between a man and a woman in marriage are turning their back on God. You say, well, Pastor, I've turned my back on him. But I love him. I'm united with him. And I need help. Yeah, I know. And that's why I want you to hear me. When you start feeling those urges to move toward your sexual activity outside of marriage, call somebody and tell them. Somebody who understands what marriage represents. And let them talk with you. Why don't you put in a CD? A CD of worship, and turn your eyes upon Jesus and realize that there is no high like the Most High, and put your focus on your relationship with Him. Now, I know that secular psychologists and biologists and others would listen to this message and they would scoff and they would laugh. Say, that's ridiculous. Sex is, animals have sex with multiple partners. Yeah, right. Sir, you're not an animal. You're not an animal. You're one with God. And one of these days you'll stand before Him. Don't make the picture frame your God. And don't break the picture frame because you're making sex the end and the goal rather than the God who created it. You say, but Pastor, I may never get married. Listen, if you don't, that's a gift. In Scripture, the Bible says if you're a young man and you cannot control your sexual urges, marry. That's a gift. But sometimes God in His grace gives the gift of singleness, and He will help you deal with whatever it is that you need to deal with biologically. But my encouragement to you is to realize, keep the marriage bed pure. Because of what it represents. Marriage matters. And if you're here today and you have failed, thank goodness that we serve a God of grace. He comes into union with the ungodly, not the godly. He unites Himself with sinners. He wouldn't have had to have died if we were perfect. If you have failed in this area, the Lord loves broken, humble sinners who just cry to Him. He loves us. And He says, you know, I'll fill your heart. I'll fill your life. Wait on me. And if the clouds are dark and you don't sense His presence, you know that when you feel movement towards sexual activity outside of marriage, you know it is a spiritual issue. Do business with God, and I think you will find He will do business with you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that your word is very clear. Help us to keep the marriage bed undefiled because we know marriage matters as a symbol of our union with you. In Jesus' name.